This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Good morning to you, Scott Wrighton, City Manager of Decatur. How are you, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's nice to be on your show, and thanks for filling in.
My pleasure. We got the call Sunday night. When death happens in a family, it kind of throws everything into a mess, because no one ever wants that or expects that to happen. But, you know, you adapt, and that's part of life. It's part of the circle of life. And, Scott, I'm glad you're here with us. I saw you a couple weeks ago having lunch with a friend of yours at Doherty's. And as we chatted and you introduced me to your lunch companion, I found out he was a strategic planner or was helping you with strategic planning. And I found that to be very encouraging. The last time I remember significant strategic planning in Decatur, I got to be a part of a focus group of a consultant that the city hired. And what I vividly remember is we got to prioritize what areas of the city should we focus on first. And there were lots of options: downtown, entrances of the city, the corridors between the entrances and downtown, all kinds of options. And the overwhelming consensus was focus on downtown. And now, I don't know, 10 years later, 15 years later, look at downtown. It looks beautiful. So this really does work, and it really is important, I would think.
Well, I think that you're absolutely right, Kevin. And in local government, especially because there's so many different things that municipal government does, you know, police and fire and water and sewer and roads and many other services, that it's easy sometimes both for staff and for the elected officials as well to get so bogged down in all of that that they don't take the time to step back and say, okay, now let's give some time to where we want the city to be 5 years from now or 10 years from now. That's really what the citizens elected us to do or appointed us to do. And that's what strategic planning is about. And then to develop a document that helps helps guide those decisions on a daily basis. And we try to do that every 2 years after city council elections. Oftentimes there have been new people on the city council as a result of the election process. And so every 2 years is a good time to update that. So that's what we were getting ready to do, and we're going to be doing that later this month.
Well, that's encouraging. Do you have an inkling as to what direction you're going to go? You want to break some news here?
Well, I don't want to get ahead of the city council, but my guess is that the city council's goals and objectives that they worked on in 2019 will be updated, but that the principal direction in terms of the highest priorities that the council has are going to remain the same. Council's primary objective in 2019 was to move the needle on neighborhood revitalization, as well as to work with workforce development. There's a nationwide worker shortage going on, and that's certainly a problem in Decatur as well. So, what is it that the City of Decatur and its partners, the EDC, Richland Community College, the Chamber, and others who are trying to help employers get the people that they need into those jobs? It's becoming more acute. It was acute before pandemic, and it's become more so after pandemic. And so, I would say that those are two of the main things that the councils will be spending time talking about.
I know one of the major accomplishments that you've just made public between you and the EDC is the Atkins Group project. That's a big deal, isn't it?
It is, and it's really representative of what I think is really strong about Decatur. You know, in the last 2 years, we've announced the project, the big expansion with Mueller, what will be the largest brass foundry in North America, being built up on North Jasper Street, the Innova Feeds project that will be built over on Brush College Road beginning in 2022, and then the Atkins Group project that you mentioned is 635,000 square foot warehouse up on the north end of Brush College, north of Garver Church Road. And
what is that? 41. That's $41 million building.
Right. And Kevin, there are other projects coming up on the Brush College Road area that the EDC and the city aren't able to announce just yet. So what I'm trying to say is that Decatur's role as a place where there are good, solid industrial and manufacturing employers remains in place. And I'm really bullish on Decatur's future, in part because these employers are strong, they're hiring, they're wanting to expand, and the reason why they want to continue to be in Decatur is also strong. We have abundant supply of water and sewer capacity and inexpensive power here in central Illinois that that many other places in the United States don't have, and access to a really good transportation network. These are things that are important for industries. And while taxes tend to be a little bit high in Illinois, and Illinois is not necessarily a business-friendly state all the time, these are assets that we can focus on and which make it important for people and businesses to locate in Decatur and help our local economy. So the Atkins Project is just one piece in, I think, that larger picture that I think bodes well for Decatur's economic future.
Scott, I'm going to take a break here for the weather, and when we come back, I want to talk to you about Brush College Road and the importance of that sector of Decatur and the expansion there. So there's a little tease for you, and we'll be back right after we hear from Nick about the weather and a couple commercial breaks.
Today, we've got a 30% chance of showers, mainly between noon and 5 p.m. It's going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 74. And tonight, that chance of rain picks back up. 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy and a low of 61. For Wednesday, chance of rain, thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 74. And Thursday, chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high near 76. The current temperature in downtown Decatur, 64 degrees. Your WSOY time is 6:19.
Join WSOY and our community partners for the 20th annual WSOY Community Food Drive, October 8th at the Airport Plaza Kroger on Route 36 in Decatur. The WSOY Community Food Drive wants to ensure a safe event while also ensuring the ability to help those in need. Because of the continued risk of COVID-19, we're again asking for monetary donations only to help fill our local food banks. Your dollars will go the farthest, allowing local food banks to eliminate waste and purchase goods on an as-needed basis at a tremendous discount from the Central Illinois Food Bank. Every cent goes to the purchase of food, and thanks to our community partners, we're able to again offer a substantial financial award to the top five local schools that collect the most money for the food drive. For more information, to get your school, business, or church involved, or to give online now, go to nowdecatur.com. The 20th annual WSOY Community Food Drive, October 8th at the Airport Plaza Kroger on Route 36 in Decatur.
Millikan University invites high school and transfer students to a campus visit day on Monday, October 11th. Come see for yourself what a Millikan education is all about. Attend a campus visit day to learn about admission criteria and important deadlines, academic programs, financial aid and scholarships, and see how you can get involved in athletics, Greek life, and student organizations. Experience the Millikan difference on Monday, October 11th at a campus visit day. Register at millikan.edu/visit.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Welcome back to Byers & Company. I'm Kevin Perhaney. I'm here with Nick Smith, and we have the city manager, Scott Wrighton, on the phone. And Scott, again, thank you for being here this morning. I appreciate you taking the time, and it's so important not only to hear from our mayor like we do often, but also to hear from our city manager who guides the city council through all the issues that they got to think about. And I know you only have limited resources, and we talked about the strategic planning. And one big ticket item right now that has been worked on, well, gosh, I know, I think it goes back 4 years now that I went to Washington, D.C. with the mayor, other political figures, union leaders, business leaders, contractors like David Tyrell to lobby Washington, D.C. for infrastructure funds to take on a major project that we really need to have improved. Probably hasn't been improved or significantly improved since early 40s. is Brush College Road, where all this commerce goes on between ADM and Tate and Lyle and that whole sector all the way to Highway 72. How's that project coming, and is there light at the end of this tunnel?
Well, the city has spent money on infrastructure out at Brush College, maybe quietly over the years, to build the infrastructure capacity for that to be an industrial and manufacturing hub up there in the northeast part of the city. You drive up Brush College Road, and you'll realize that it's a pretty good concrete street. You won't realize that there's water and sewer in fairly good capacity to most of that area to facilitate industrial growth, and that some of the projects that we just finished talking about before the break wouldn't have happened without that infrastructure. When we talk about the Brush College project, though, which you were talking about here just a moment ago, what that means is a grade separation at the Ferries Parkway Brush College intersection. And people who have frequented that intersection know that sometimes railroad crossings can delay normal traffic at that intersection for up to 40, 45 minutes sometimes. It can be a real bottleneck. And so the city, for actually closer to 10 years, Kevin, has been working on this grade separation project. It's a massive project, both in terms of its scope, but also in terms of its cost and its complexity. Now estimated to be close to $50 million in cost. It'll be going to bid letting around the first of the year. And the construction of the project will last for more than 2 years. And that'll be a fairly significant disruption for not just for the whole community, but especially for ADM. And it involves two railroads and a lot of other agencies. The bad news certainly is that cost has grown over the years. But the good news, and I really want to emphasize this, I mean, apart from the fact that it'll improve access and traffic mobility just in a really significant way when the project is done. But another piece of good news, Kevin and Nick, is that although the project's estimated total is close to $50 million, the city of Decatur's share of that is going to be around 7.5%. In other words, 92% or more of the project cost is being borne by the federal government or the state government or by the railroads or by the Illinois Commerce Commission and various other grant funds that through some of the partnerships that you've participated in that you mentioned, we've really brought a lot of those to bear. And this is money that wouldn't be coming to Decatur were it not for the Brush College project. It's specifically set aside for railroad grade crossing protection or for other sorts of safety projects like this. That if we didn't have this project, you know, it'd go to Indiana or go to Pennsylvania or someplace else.
Right.
And we've been really successful at getting that funding to this project.
Yeah, and I want to give a lot of credit to Mayor Julie Moore Wolf. She put that contingency together along with some of your political consultants' help. And we went out there not hat in hand. We went out there with a plan. We went out there with facts. We went out there with details. And we went out there as a community leadership group to say, we deserve our fair share. And here's why it's good for the state of Illinois in the United States. And to Rodney Davis and Dick Durbin's credit, they paid attention to us and they steered us in the directions, departments of transportation and departments of commerce, to go lobby. And you, as a city manager, need that kind of community support.
I think you're right. And many of the characters that you mentioned, you know, deserve a lot of credit and thanks for the time that they put into it and understanding the importance of reaching out in an organized way. But I'll tell you that, and certainly the mayor and council understand this, is that those granting agencies, one of the first questions is, that they want to know when they hear these sorts of requests from local government is, do you guys have a plan? Have you thought this through? Are all the local pieces that have to fit into the place, have you thought those through rather than just that you've got an idea? And I think that although it was before I came to the city of Decatur, it was clear to those agencies that, yep, all the people in Decatur, not just with the city government, but all the other partners that you mentioned as well, had thought it through, understood it, had got the support of ADM and a lot of other government and non-government agencies, and that has a lot to do with why we were successful.
Mr. Manager, we only have a minute and a few seconds left. I want to congratulate you on appointing our new deputy, our interim chief of police, Shane Brandel. I'm a big Chief Getz fan. He's been very vocal about this police reform and the qualified immunity problem that's going on. But I understand that Shane is a terrific man, and nice job in appointing him as our interim chief, and I hope our full-time chief someday.
Well, Shane Brandel has done an excellent job. Even before Chief Getz left, he was a deputy chief and was a key part of the police department command structure, and he's doing a great job for the city of Decatur as the interim chief as well. And I think that one of the things I want to mention, not just about Shane, but about the other people that do hard work over in the police department, is that you have reported in the news when we have these unfortunate shootings and other law enforcement related incidents, but the citizens of Decatur need to know that our police are doing a fantastic job. The mayor and council continue to be very supportive of them. Since the beginning of 2020 or so, about between 75% and 80% of the murder events that we've had in our community have been solved. That doesn't get reported as much as when they actually happen. We continue to give the police the equipment and the support that they need to do their job. And so they oftentimes work quietly behind the scenes when it's not as high profile a case in order to keep our citizens safe, and they take that responsibility very seriously.
Thank you, Mr. Manager.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.